Things have been fairly quiet in my study just lately. After my travels in Southern Africa this year, there is still a process underway, a kind of digestion of what I encountered, investigated, and brought home. I have stones and raw ochre from the mighty Drakensberg Mountains and a Namibian granite range. Stones from locations where the sand bushmen painted their haunting images long ago.
Walking along the stream where the bushmen would have once walked, coming away from the cave. You can see it in the afternoon sun now on the hillside. Back up behind me with a Drakensberg in the background, it's spectacular.
I have pieces of calcite and dolomite from caves where our remote Australopithecine ancestors once lived, or more likely perished by falling in through the roof, in the unforgiving cradle of humankind where so much of our evolution took place, all perhaps 1,000 times longer ago than the days of the Bushmen. I went to a number of museums, of course, and most of these featured displays about human evolution, several being very good. I've always been attracted to dioramas. Indeed, I think they are an underrated art form. I particularly loved a series in the Transvaal Museum, now called Ditsong, in Pretoria. It had a fabulous quality in the older and better sense of the word. Yet it was indubitably grounded in scientific research, in historical fact. Indeed, it is hard to beat when you have a museum like this, where there is an extensive permanent exhibition about human evolution based on its own collections. The National Museum of Kenya in Nairobi is the only other one I know like it. I'm drawn to the whole idea of imagining the results of this science in dramatic form, of evolution happening to real living individuals. The Transvaal Museum also features a diorama of an Australopithecine being dragged away by a leopard that's got it by the head, its teeth puncturing the skull. This display is based on one of the most remarkable sets of fossils in the collections of any museum. They have the original skull and the leopard fangs. I think any good natural history museum should include this sort of exhibition, even if it is only based on a collection of plaster casts. I read the removal of a similar diorama of the leopard and Australo in the Australian Museum in Sydney several years ago. Also brought home, I have a replica of Mrs. Pleas, the famous Australopithecine fossil discovered by Robert Broome at Sterkfontein in 1947. The unfortunate creature fell into a cave over 2 million years ago and couldn't get out. It's a nifty little model cast in epoxy resin, kindly presented to me by Stephanie Potzer, Mrs. Pleas' curator in Pretoria. I also have a dazzling memory of the Tung Child skull being held up before me by Bernard Zipfel, curator of collections at the University of Witwatersrand. It is still there in the medical school, as it was discovered in 1924 by Raymond Dart, an Australian who was professor of anatomy there, a man who paid dearly for his discovery. Some, indeed, have written about how the Tung Child almost seemed to discover Raymond Dart. It is our little ancestor, bearing the marks of probably being carried off by an eagle. I've said it before in a podcast, but the sheer fecundity of Africa, the life that swarms in its landscape, is to me quite special. It's a phenomenon that seems almost bound to throw up something strange. Somewhere in Africa, sometime in the Pliocene epoch, these little ape people became genus Homo, our mob. Strange how the waterhole keeps surfacing, so to speak, seems to draw us all in.